So glad you're here. Well, I want to get right into my message because it's going to be a fun one. I told First Service, and I'll tell you just the same. I'm going to talk about dads, and I'm going to talk about guys today. And I'm going to do so in terms that are politically incorrect, that use stereotypes, and may be taken in a way that you don't appreciate. I don't mean to do that, but it's Father's Day, and I want to talk about being men and being a man of God. I want the men in here to go home today going, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. And the ladies, just for once, to not roll their eyes while they do it. That's my goal, okay? That's where we're headed for this service, all right? Grunting guys and ladies behind them, patting them on the back instead of rolling their eyes, all right? We'll get there together. However, if anything I say should happen to offend you today, please write down my email address. You can send this to me at PastorMike@familylife.church. Any of your complaints can be sent to my email. That's the complaint email account if you have any of those. Please make sure that you send that way. Well, I want to talk about the men today, and I know it is Father's Day, but I want to talk about not just two men, but about men. I want all of us to hear and see something that is going on in the world, because when I look at men and masculinity in the world today, I see an issue that is becoming more and more difficult to navigate that I just want to call a wilderness. All right? And I want to call the men out of the wilderness and into the wild. Because God made you to be a little wild. All right? And we're going to talk about that this morning. But this wilderness that we're currently living in is making it very difficult to understand. What does it mean to be a man? And if you're raising boys, trying to raise them into being men, what does it mean for them to be men? You know, how are we supposed to do this? And so I want to look at this biblically today. And I want to start with a blessing that God spoke over Joshua. Now, Joshua was the leader. He was kind of like the second great leader of the Israelites. There had been a guy named Moses. Everybody hear Moses, right? He had been the one who led them out of Israel or out of Egypt, but they went into the wilderness for a period of 40 years because they just couldn't trust God. And it is Joshua who leads them out of the wilderness and into the promise. He leads them into what God has in store for them. And as he's going into this, as he's stepping into this role, God speaks a blessing over him that I think is really crucial to men for us to understand. Okay, so here's what it says in this blessing. Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9. He says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wow, what a blessing. Like, even the very beginning part here, like, no one will be able to stand against you. Listen, that excites every guy in this room. Like, wait, nobody will be able to stand against me? That sounds amazing. I want to look at some of these things that are in this blessing that God speaks to Joshua. I want to unpack them a little bit as to where we're at in the world, because there is a great wilderness that is happening with a lot of these things that God intended as blessings upon men's lives. So here's the things that he outlines. He says, you'll be a winner, right? No one will be able to stand against you. You'll be empowered. You'll be strong. You'll be courageous. You'll be a leader. You'll be driven. You'll be successful. You'll be loyal. And God says all of these things for Joshua. Now, I want to take a side note here for just a second before all the ladies start punching in Pastor Mike's email address, okay? This is not in any way to take anything away from the ladies in this room. In any way, shape, or form. Because here's the truth. When I look at this list, you are capable of any of these things. I have ladies in my life, ladies that I live with in my house. They are capable of any of these things. Being winners, empowered, strong, courageous, leaders, successful. But there is a reality for men that God not only created us to be able to do this, but to desire this on a deeper level than you. And I want to prove this to you. Have you ever played a game with your husband? All right? When you won, did you care? Did you care? No, not really. If you lost, do you care? Yeah. If your husband loses, how does he feel about that? Not great. Right? He must win. All right? He needs to be strong, right? Let me prove this to you. Have you ever asked your husband to open a pickle jar? Have you ever noticed that for some reason your husband is 3 inches taller when he leaves the kitchen than he was when he came in? It's like, can you open this jar for me? Well, if I must exude my manly manliness, where is that jar? Here you go. He needs to feel strong. He needs to feel courageous, right? And he needs to feel like he can take risks and do things that are, in other words, that women would describe as dangerous. Like, why are you doing that? Because he needs to feel courageous. He needs these things. But here's the problem that's been created by the wilderness that we're living in. Masculinity has been labeled as a bad thing. We're trying to get it out of guys in every way imaginable, and we're even trying to get it out of our little boys now to tell them, like, you've got to stop acting like boys. So here's what happens with these things that God intended as a blessing. If you're a winner, you're selfish. If you're empowered, you're overconfident. If you're strong, you're toxic. If you're courageous, you're dangerous. If you're a leader, you're arrogant. If you're driven, you're just unyielding. If you're successful, you're greedy. And if you're loyal, you're narrow-minded. We've created a wilderness out of all these things that God put inside of men to be. And instead of them raising up into them, they're having to choose one of two pathways because we've labeled it as a bad thing. You can go one of two ways. You can become defiant or defeated. Now, in defiance, I think we can easily be like, well, if they're going to say that I'm selfish, I'm just going to be selfish. If they're going to say I'm arrogant, I'll be arrogant, or I'll be toxic, or I'll be dangerous. We can become defiant in those things, but oftentimes what happens is that men eventually just become defeated. And they start to feel like, well, then I guess I just won't care about the wins and losses. I feel powerless anyway, or weak, or fearful, or a follower. I'm not motivated. I'm getting stagnant. I'm unreliable. All of these things that over time, this wilderness has just pulled something out of our men that should have been a part of them from the very beginning. And instead of it being something that thrives inside of us, we're losing it day in and day out. Men, I want to call you out of the wilderness and into the wild. I want to call you out of the wilderness that we've created for masculinity. I want to call you out of the wilderness for what we've called a biblical man and back into a place where it's like God put things inside of you for a reason. Live them, love them, enjoy them, but also assign them to a biblical purpose. Because that's where the rubber really meets the road. I came across a quote. There's a book called Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. Great book if you'd like to read. If you're like, I wish I could understand the men in my life or my sons or my brother. If you were like, I want to understand what makes them tick. Great book that really outlines all of this. But John Eldridge says this in the book Wild at Heart. There are three desires I find written so deeply into my heart, I know now I can no longer disregard them without losing my soul. I am convinced that these desires are universal. A clue into masculinity itself. They may be misplaced, forgotten, or misdirected, but in the heart of every man is a desperate desire for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. Now, I know as we look at this, we're thinking, again, I know I'm talking in great levels of stereotypes. I'm talking in great levels of gender roles, which we are just totally against. We think that there is no such thing as gender. We think that men and women are exactly the same. Let me prove to you once again, no, they're not. Okay? How do I know that every man needs a battle to fight? Here's how. No one has to teach a 4-year-old boy to be a ninja. Nobody has to tell them, you need to, if you're going to take the next step in your boyhood, you're going to have to start climbing up on counters, jumping off into a roundhouse, trying to hit your sister. Nobody has to tell them to do that. In fact, what do you have to tell them? Stop climbing on the counter and trying to kick your sister. Stop hiding in the hallway and trying to tackle me, right? He's just looking for a fight. Or how about this? Take a group of four-year-old boys and four-year-old girls and stick a baby doll in the middle of the floor. The boys are going to grab it by the leg and swing it around and start beating each other with it. The little girls are going to pick it up and go, "Oh, it's so cute. I'm going to name it Baby." Very original name. We're different. We're different. Listen, biblically speaking, we are countercultural. We're supposed to be countercultural. Don't drink the Kool-Aid that says that we're all the same. God made us different. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean one's better and one's worse or any of those things. We're just different, all right? But there's these three things that every man needs: a battle, every man needs an adventure, and he needs a beauty to rescue. And I want to look at what these look like biblically speaking. Psalm 144:1, King David, who's the man after God's own heart, he starts Psalm 144 by saying this: "Praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle." Now we look at this and we're like, how is this worship? Right? What if that will be next week, we're going to have a worship service and that'll be the first song that we sing, right? "The Lord trains my hands for war." And the ladies in here are going to be like, "Oh, I don't like that." Whereas the guys do worship and they're like, "I don't really want to sing, lean into me and just love me," right? Because we feel so differently about these things. But God has created within this men this need for a battle to fight. And ladies, I want to talk to you a little bit about this battle. Guys, I want to talk to you about why you need to battle, because we don't often understand it. Do you know that guys will pick a battle with the dumbest things that they just have to win? Could be the toaster, right? You go in, you're just trying to make toast, right? And you're like, "Hey, the toaster's not working. Something must be wrong. We should get a new one." What does your husband do? "No. I'm going to pick a fight with this toaster and I'm going to win. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get it to work right. It's going to work, right?" And so he goes to battle with this and he tries to defeat this. And then somewhere in the background, I won't say who, but there's a female voice that comes out and says, "Why are you messing with that? Just get a new one." He's like, "Because I need this battle. I need this battle." Or, you know, you go into the house, right? And I think, you know, men do this on occasion. Imagine if your husband fixes something in the house. I know that's a rare occasion, but go with me. But he fixes the screen door, right? And you come in and he walked up to you and he goes, "Did you notice I fixed the screen door?" And you just go, "Mm-hmm." "Ladies, you're killing me. A corner of my heart just broke off." Your husband does not come to you to ask you if you notice that the door is working. He figures you've got eyes. He knows that you could tell that when you walked through the door that it opened and closed. He came to you because he wanted you to know, "I picked a battle with the screen door and I won. Now you may bask in my victory with me." And he's asking you, he's inviting you to bask in his victory, and you say, "Mm-hmm."
"Man, feel defeated now."
When he's saying that to you, he's asking you to celebrate his victories with him because he's inviting you into that place in his life. And I know it's easy to be like, "Okay, yeah, the door worked. Can you do me a favor? Can you step back and, you know, that door was really frustrating me. I am so glad you fixed that, because it was getting to the point where I just couldn't even sleep at night wondering if that door was just going to swing open in the middle of the night and we'd even be safe in our home. Now I feel safe." Now I know you think that's ridiculous. I guarantee you your husband will be 6 inches taller when he leaves that conference. He's going to be like, "Oh, yes, I did fix that door." Why? Because God put inside of us the need for a battle. Unfortunately, we've misplaced a lot of our battle readiness. We're putting wartime in to things that really don't matter. I'm going to go to battle over who the best football team is. I'm going to go to battle over who the best political party is. I'm going to go to battle over this. I'm going to go to battle over that. I'm going to go to battle. We're misplacing it because there is a need inside of us for a battle. But guys, please hear me. From a biblical standpoint, there is a battle to be waged in the spirit that you could be actively engaged in and a part of and do a great level of significance for in the kingdom of God. Listen, Ephesians tells us that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness that wage war against God's people. Guys, can I activate you to a battle that is so necessary today? There are evil spirits and demonic powers that are coming for your family. They're coming for your kids. They're coming for your marriage. They're coming for your community and your church and anything and everything else. And I want to ask you, would you turn into some super spiritual ninjas for me? Would you join me in praying down the powers of darkness and being the warrior that God has called you to be? Fight that battle. Choose that battle, and we'll all celebrate that victory together. Church, this is what God has called us to. Next is this idea of an adventure. You know, as we get older, it's just like, well, I don't know, this adventure stuff, you know. Life gets boring. What do I do? What do I do? And guys are always looking for some new thing to be adventurous with. And if you have small boys, they're really looking for things to be adventurous with. And what is the first thing that we tell them? Be more careful. Can you just please be careful? Like, it's okay to have an adventure. Let's not have an ER level adventure. Okay? Let's keep it below ER status, right? But even from the time a boy is a boy, he needs to be recognized as courageous, as brave, maybe in what might seem to our eyes a little dangerous. Because God put that inside of him. And it's an important part of who we are as men, but also how we live for Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, we see Jesus calling his disciples. I want to read this for you. This says, one day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, you ever read this before and think, what in the world would cause grown men who have a livelihood to just cast it to the side and follow a guy they just met? The need for adventure. And Jesus wasn't just inviting them to be apostles and disciples. In fact, if Jesus had taken the time to outline with them, we're going to go on an adventure. Spoiler alert, it ends in your death and mine. Even still, the guys have been like, but we're going to have fun in between, right? I'm in. He says, I want to invite you into an adventure. And men, can I tell you that following Jesus is the greatest adventure you will ever have in your lifetime. Submitting your life to Jesus and trusting him with the plans that he has for your life is the greatest adventure you will ever experience in your lifetime. Now, I'm not saying that you have to get rid of every other ambition in the world to become, you know, a guy who climbs Mount Everest or the guy who, I don't know, drives a car 900 miles an hour. I don't know what the dreams are out there. But you don't have to give those things up to also be engaged actively in this adventure. But the problem is that we often overlook the adventure of what it means to follow Jesus. And because we overlook it, we dismiss it. We diminish it and we just kind of walk away from it because we don't think it's enough. When Jesus called to these men, he said, listen, follow me. I will take what you already do and I will take it to the next level. You're not just going to do this for fish. You're going to change the world. And if you would follow me and trust me, the world would be different because of your obedience. Guys, I know that you need an adventure. Choose Jesus. Choose the adventure of living for Jesus and following Jesus. And the last thing is this idea that John Eldredge says is a beauty to rescue. Now listen, I got to let a little bit of a spoiler alert out here. I don't know, maybe a lot of guys have been trying to keep this a secret. Most men that I know, either actively or at some point in their lives, have daydreamed about the opportunity to be heroic. They picture that the refrigerator is going to fall over and that's going to be their hour. Like their wife or their mom is going to be pinned and they're going to be needed and they're going to be ready and they're going to climb in there and they're going to deadlift that refrigerator off of mom and then stand there victoriously having rescued her. Or they're going to see somebody in a car accident, or they daydream about a building being on fire, and they're going to rush in and save the day. Guys daydream about this because God put inside of them the need to be rescuers. It's just something from the very beginning. I know we look down on it, the whole damsel in distress. We've created a wilderness culture that is every woman saying, I don't need anybody to rescue me. And that's great. I'm not saying that we need to go back to being totally dependent on one another, but there is a level there that we could get to. Totally different sermon. But here's what God speaks to men, and this is an important part of this idea of some of this rescuer mentality. In Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 30, Paul says this to the husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. And we are all members of this one body. Here is one of the most difficult things about Christianity for a lot of men, is that inside of us is this need to be rescuers. But when it comes to relationship with Jesus, we become the ones in need of rescue. And if we're honest, that's a really hard thing to admit. Because it goes in the face of my need for a battle. Well, maybe I can just fight my way through it. Maybe I can fight through my plan and my goals and my dreams and my things. Maybe I can fight my way out of this. Or maybe I can go, I can have an adventure in this lifetime, and this adventure will fulfill me and satisfy me. But getting to the place where men have to say, I am the bride of Christ, does not feel good at all. I am the one in need of a rescue. I am the one who can't get myself out of this mess. I am the one who's looking for a rescuer to come and save me. This is one of the greatest reasons that men run from deep, meaningful relationship with God, is because we don't like the idea of being the one who needs to be rescued. But church, men, when we submit ourselves and surrender to God and say, God, I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. When we allow God to come into the place of being that hero in our lives and then engaging onto the next level, because God says, just as I have saved you, I've called you to save others. I've called you to be a rescuer to a generation who doesn't know Jesus. I've called you to be a rescuer to your community and to your family and to your coworkers and to your friends and to your, whatever that looks like, I've called you to every one of those things. And it doesn't have to take away from who you are or what I have placed inside of you. Here's the truth, ladies. Here's the truth, guys. God put these things inside of us. And the more we get out of that wilderness of saying, well, you need to stop doing that. Listen, what do? We tell little boys, don't be so rambunctious. Sit quietly. Stop moving. Stop being a boy. We tell our guys, be more gentle and tame. But God put a wildness inside of them. And I'm not saying an out of controlness, okay? That's not the same thing. But God put something inside of men that when properly aligned with what God wants to do in our life scripturally, allows us to step into the very things that God has called us to do. To have a fulfilled life of waging war against the real enemy of this world. To live the adventure of following Jesus every day of our lives. And to not only be the one who receives rescue, but then who is activated to become a rescuer for a lost and dying generation. Church, we can do this. Guys, we can do this as we live for Jesus. But I want to pray this blessing over you that God gave to Joshua. I want to pray it over you because I think it's significant. I think it's important. I think it's something that we should be actively seeking from God and asking him to do in our own lives, realizing that he is building this up inside of us. And as I said before, ladies, this is not to take anything away from you. It's a broken part of our wilderness to think that if guys become stronger, the only way that happens is for women to come weaker. That doesn't have to be the case at all. When we both become the men and women of God that he's called us to be, I believe we're going to see the world transformed. That doesn't mean that one has to become less or inferior or any of those things, but we need to be willing to embrace that reality. So can I ask you, if you are a male, and I say a male because we had some young men in the service, first service, who were confused about whether they should stand. But if you're a male, will you stand with me? Because I want to pray this blessing over you. I want to pray the blessing that God gave to Joshua over you, over your life, over your family, over your future, over everything that God is calling you to be. I pray in Jesus' name that no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I pray that God will be with you even as he was with Joshua. I pray that he will never fail you or abandon you. I pray strength and courage, for you are the ones who will lead your family, your church, and your community to possess the blessings God promised to give them. I pray for you to be strong and very courageous. I pray that you will be careful to obey all the instructions written in the Word of God. I pray that you will not deviate from them, turning to the left or to the right. And in doing so, I pray that you will be successful in everything that you do. I pray that you would study God's Word continually, meditating on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. And I pray that as you do that, you will prosper and succeed in all you do. I solemnly charge you before God, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, I pray this over these men, over these young men. I pray this, Lord, over a generation that has been mixed up in a wilderness. God, I pray that you would help us to recapture what it means to be men of God, to put our battles in front of us that belong there, not waging war against things that don't make any difference, but waging war where it truly matters, in the spirit, in our families, for our families, in our community, for our communities, in our workplace, for our coworkers, God, that we would be activated in these things. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the adventure of what it is to follow you and be surrendered to you in all of our ways. And I pray, God, that we would be those who are surrendered, who receive rescue from the greatest rescuer who has ever existed, but that are also called and respond and activated to go forth and to be rescuers in a world that still needs Jesus. Father, I thank you that you've put this inside of my brothers. And I pray that as we live for your glory, that as we grow and learn more and more what it means to be the men that you've called us to be, that we'll become more and more like you. That the world will be changed and transformed by your goodness in our lives. Lord, I seal this blessing by the blood of Jesus. In your name, amen, amen. Pastor Matt, would you come and close us?
What an excellent challenge. One question as a man I'm left with at the end of that message is, since we're all fighters here, what is it going to be for you that you can fight for your relationship with God? And how can you fight for your family? We would say, man, we'll take a bullet for our family, anybody in our family. But would you put the children's laundry away? Would you help with mealtime? Would you help the kids get in the car? Whatever that might be, that is what fighting for our family daily looks like. That's what taking a bullet, if you will, for your family looks like. How can you fight for your relationship with God and what truly matters to you in your life right now? So that's I just want to leave you with that question on Father's Day. And I just want to say once again, you probably heard it before, Happy Father's Day from all of us at Family Life Church to you guys. We're praying for you. We support you, and we're just excited for you today. I want you to, you know, enjoy the day with your family, whatever that looks like for you. Have a great week. And just as you go today, just greet somebody on the way out. Thank you guys for coming to Family Life Church today. We love you. And we all also have a prayer team that's going to be up here at the front if you need prayer for anything today. Have a great week together.